श्री चैतन्य जयन जनंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जयन जनंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद Hare Krishna. Again, welcome everyone. We will recite first of all Shikshastakam. I would like a copy if I could have, please. Yes. Let us do it as we did last night in unison together. Chetodarpanam arjanam bhagamahada bhagi nirvapanam Shayakarva chandrika vitaranam vijjavadu jivanam Anandam budhivardhanam pratipadam puramrita svadhanam Sarvatma svatanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan which bends to the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we're always anxious. Actually, there's a mistake there. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Somehow, left out. This is from an old book, though. This is from an ancient book, done many years ago. Okay, anyway, that's just by the way. Let's go on to verse 2. Nam namakari bahodani jasarva shaktis tatra pitani amata svaranena kala Eta chashita lakrita bhagavam namapi Durdaiva mitrishamiha janina niraga O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to the living beings unless you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina managena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nādana nājayam nā sundarim, kāvatam vācagadīśa kāmaye, māma janmani janmani chkare, bhāvatā bhaktya rahaiti kītvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. I inanda tanuja kinkaram, kaditam lam vishame param pura, kripaya tava padapankaja, stita tulisa krisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Nayanam Gadadashudhaya Padanam Gadadudhayila Kodakai Nichitam Bahukada Tavanama Gahane Pavishyate. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the heads of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Yudhaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahelane. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Asli shava padaratam panashtuma akarshinam mamahatam karotava yatatatava vidarajulampato makrananatas tu sahevanapada. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Sri Sri Shikshastaka Ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki. Yes, so thank you all for coming again. It's very nice to be here with you all. Tonight, the first part of our program will be, as usual, you could say, that we're going to discuss about some pastime or pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and some of the lessons we can learn from them. Then, after that, after a little while, we propose to take you all from Port Elizabeth. We will all leave Port Elizabeth and go to Vrindavan in India. How does that sound? Leave Port Elizabeth far behind. And a quick trip to India. We'll be there maybe half an hour or 20 minutes and we'll come back to Port Elizabeth. Of course, if you like, you can stay there too. But otherwise, we'll bring you back and then you can go home later on. What do you think? Anyway, this is our idea for this evening. And I thought this evening to do something, to discuss something a little different. It is not so much like, it is an incident or a few incidents, but it is more just examining a little and trying to appreciate a little a certain phenomenon in Krishna consciousness. This is the phenomenon of separation. Separation from the Lord. Hare Krishna. Yes, separation. The mood of, we mentioned actually, what was it? It was the second night, Tuesday. We were talking about Madhavendra Puri and how he was in the mood of separation as a forerunner to Lord Chaitanya, who was very much in the mood of separation and taught the rendering of devotional service in the mood of separation. So Madhavendra Puri, if you recall, those of you who were here, there was a particular verse that he would regularly recite. Do you remember that? Of course, you probably don't know that verse, but it goes basically, if I can remember it, Ai dina dayajanate maturanatha kadavalokyase hridayam tvad aloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karom yaham. O my Lord, O Master of Mathura. I forget the translation exactly, but O my Lord, Master of Mathura. Now I'm separated from you. And in that state of separation, my unsteady heart has become agitated. And now you please tell me, Kim Karomyaham, what am I to do now? Now that I'm separated from you, my Lord. This is a very exalted type of consciousness. And of course, very important and obvious point, if you think about it at least, is that we are all in separation from Krishna. We are all in separation. We are separated, although we, even with ourselves as devotees and certainly with the people in general, it is that it doesn't really worry people too much that we are separated from Krishna. Somehow or other, he is in the kingdom of God. We are in Port Elizabeth, a long way away, with all due respect, from the kingdom of God. But people, don't worry. They don't worry. I'm separated from Krishna. What's the problem? I have my family. I have my motor car. I have my bank balance. And so on and so forth. I have all these things. So I feel fine. My life is all right. I may be separated from Krishna, but it doesn't matter. People think like that. But actually it does matter. It matters a lot. Because we are all eternal spiritual persons. We belong in eternal relationships with Krishna. And if we are not situated in that way, then we are in unnatural situations. And naturally, if you're in an unnatural situation, then naturally it will not work very well, isn't it? You know, the proverbial square peg in the round hole, or vice versa, type of idea. It doesn't really work. Take a fish out of water. Prabhupada would give this example. Take a fish out of water, and it doesn't really work. You may give the fish lots of money and a big house in Malabar, Newton, Green Acres, or wherever. What's it now? Summerstrand. Some fancy Lani house. And give the fish lots and lots and lots of money. And big motor cars, class Mercedes-Benz, 10 of them even. Ferrari, Rolls-Royce. Private jet, and give him beautiful girlfriend, Miss Port Elizabeth, Miss Algoa, or Nelson Mandela Bay, or whatever, something like this. And then you think, well, how could anyone complain if they are set up in this way? But the fish out of water, all these things will not help the fish at all. If he has them, it won't help him. If they're taken away from him, it won't hurt him. His problem is he is out of water. That is his problem. That is what needs to be addressed. And if that is not addressed, then all the money in the world will not help, or no money will not really be a problem. And so on, like this. All these different factors in life will not make a difference, positively or negatively. But the thing is, he's out of water. And that is the root cause of all the problems that he's facing. Not the money or the house or the car or if he gets robbed or something like that. These things don't really matter. What matters is he's out of water. That has to be addressed. So we are like that. We are out of our natural position. Natural position means in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So we're not in that. We're in some other situation. So actually we're like fish out of water, but we have not realized it. But rather we are, you know, like some sort of super optimist who, even though things are very difficult, and every lifetime after lifetime, we have gone through so much, and at the end, every time we've been smashed to pieces, and everything taken away in the most sort of rude way, very severely, by the time of death. But still the eternal optimist, they call it. The eternal optimist still gets up and thinks, yes, we will not let these things hold us back. We will push on and we will be successful. But actually we're separated from Krishna, and this is a very serious problem. Extremely serious. And it means that there is no possibility of us becoming truly successful, because we're just in the wrong situation. In this way, in that way, in whatever way. But the fundamental point is we are separated from Krishna, and this is unnatural, and therefore we cannot be very successful at all. Yes, so separation. Lord Chaitanya, we are separated from Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya taught, he is the Yuga avatar, he is teaching and demonstrating how to practice Krishna consciousness, devotional service, in this day and age, Kali Yuga. So he was teaching and demonstrating devotional service in the mood of separation. That we should feel that separation, be mindful of that, and be very enthusiastic to do away with the separation and once again be with Krishna. So now, in this Shikshastakam, which we just read, the seventh verse is particularly talking about separation. Yugayatam namesena chakshusha pravishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. This is the second to last verse. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So this is about separation. Feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Now, we may have had the experience, I imagine we've all had the experience, that when things are going nicely, then time is even the same. Time flies. When things are going well, then you get into it, and then suddenly you find, oh, time's up. Oh, what happened? So quickly. But when you're doing something that you don't like doing, then time slows down. When you're working in the factory, I don't know if any of you are working in factories, but anyway, when you're working, and if you're doing one of these jobs which is really like drudgery and you just don't like it, and you're waiting for 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock to come, but it just seems like it's never going to come. You look at your watch, then you carry on working, you look at your watch again, and it's only 1 minute later. And you can't understand, how's that? I was working for so long since I last looked at my watch. Yeah. There's even a story you may know. It's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna books how the gopis went to dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance. And so they got out there. It was early evening, perhaps something like this. And they're looking forward to dancing with Krishna so much. And then they started dancing, and it's a long story. But they started dancing, and suddenly, like a couple of minutes later, the sun was rising. And the night was over, and they had to go home. And they were all thinking, what happened to the night? Something went wrong. The night, it was only 2 minutes. But the thing is, they became so absorbed in this most extremely wonderful activity, loving exchange of dancing with Krishna, that the whole night, several hours, maybe 8 hours or 9 hours or something like that, it went as if it was 2 minutes, because time flies. When you're really enjoying something, time flies. It appears like that. It seems like that. And Srila Prabhupada explains that it's very interesting, and this is, you know, we may think this is a little fantastic, but Prabhupada explains there that actually, that night, because Krishna wanted to expand the enjoyment of the gopis and his own enjoyment in the rasa dance, so Krishna extended the period, the length of time of the night. Instead of being the usual 8 or 9 hours or so, Krishna extended it, but he really extended it to the length of the night of Lord Brahma. This is an immensely long, this is not like double, triple. This is 4,320,000,000 years. Now our minds may be sitting there right now thinking, what? This is expansion of the consciousness. But actually this is what is explained. That they were dancing for 4,320,000,000 years with Krishna. He extended the night like that. But still, it appeared like 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Now that's really time flying. And on the other hand, so that's when the devotee is with Krishna, not separated, but with Krishna, having some very beautiful, very wonderful, loving exchange. But on the other hand, well, this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying in this particular verse here. Yugaitam nimeshena. Nimesh means a fraction of a second. actually it is something like an 11th of a second. It is really just very, very brief period of time. Yugaitam nimeshena. A nimesh, a fraction of a second, seems like a yuga. In this context, Prabhupada translates the word yuga to mean 12 years. Because yuga can also mean 12 years. It can also mean a lot longer than that. But Prabhupada translates it as 12 years. That when I Govinda Virahena, Viraha means separation. When I am separated from you, Govinda, then a moment, split second, seems like 12 years or more. Now we might think, yes, this is poetic expression and colorful language and poet's license or whatever, that how is a split second going to seem like 12 years? But how did 4,320,000,000 years seem like 2 minutes, conversely? So we're talking about a very amazing thing. And the essence of that amazing thing is how amazing Krishna's association is. That is the essence of it. That because Krishna's company, to be in the association of Krishna, is so wonderful, then so many years may seem like a minute or two. And on the other hand, because his association is so wonderful, then in separation from him, a moment just like that may seem like years, actually, not just, you know, some little bit of colorful, bit of poetic expression, you know, something, but actually like that. In other words, very, very dramatic and very amazing experience, way beyond anything that we have experienced ourselves. And one devotee told us a very interesting story. This was Umapati Swami, just about the most senior devotee in our movement now, the first devotee initiated by Srila Prabhupada. So he was telling us about how in New York in 1966, 26 Second Avenue, in Manhattan, New York, how they celebrated the first Krishna Janmashtami festival in this regard, in terms of separation and time becoming shorter or longer, apparently, in terms of what you're going through. So in the morning, Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees, today is Krishna Janmashtami, it is Krishna's birthday. So we will fast till midnight. And none of them had ever fasted before in their lives. So they didn't really know what is it going to be like, what are the implications, how will I feel? But because Prabhupada just said it and this is the way it is, so they all of them thought, right, fine, we're going to fast, okay. So they were fasting, and the morning went, and it was okay. Got up to about lunchtime, and they were feeling, well, you know, it's okay, but a little hungry. And then mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock came. Then they were really feeling hungry. Then 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock came. They were really, really feeling hungry. And wow, it was becoming like a real issue for their minds. We need to eat. We want to eat. We have to eat, but we cannot eat. What to do? So it was like a whole thing was going on in their minds. So around 7, Srila Prabhupada came down and brought them all into the temple room. And Prabhupada sat on the Vyasa's, and there, you know, 26 Second Avenue, we still have the same place 40 years later. The temple room is roughly the same size as this temple room. It's something like that. Not much different. And Prabhupada would sit where our altar is. So Prabhupada sat down, locked the door, sat down on the Vyasasan, put the key in his pocket, I mean, locked the door, yeah, from the inside, put the key in his pocket, and said, we will now read Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, the pastimes of Krishna, till midnight. And Prabhupada proceeded to read the 10th canto in Sanskrit. Only the devotees did not understand any Sanskrit. They didn't even understand Hare Krishna. You know, sometimes we ask children, let me ask Draupadi, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? What is Krishna's name? Tell us. What is Krishna's name? Anyway, Krishna's name is Krishna. Get it? So, anyway, excuse me, Jandadiya, please don't mind too much. So, they didn't understand anything, and they had to sit there from 7 till midnight. So Umapati Swami was telling us, a few years ago in Mayapur, he was sitting watching the clock. On the wall, there was a clock. We have a clock back there. You see? And, oh, it's sort of... Well, it was one of these clocks that goes tick, tick, with every second. You know, like a quartz clock. So he was watching the clock. Not the hour hand, not the minute hand, but the second hand. And he was completely convinced that the second hand, it was going tick and stopping for a while. And then after some time, after a little while, it would go again, tick, and stop, and sit there for some time. And after a little while, after some time, again, it would go, tick. So it had moved 3 seconds. But he was completely convinced it was like, you know, 15 seconds at least per second. And he said he's never been through anything like it in his life. He watched the second hand all the way from 7 o'clock till midnight. And it seemed like days, not just hours, but days. And finally, when midnight came, he couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. So anyway, he told us this, and he said it was the most vivid experience he had had in his life to that time. Apparently time had slowed down, and it really seemed like that. So separated from Krishna, there are descriptions. In the Krishna book, there are descriptions. Sometimes Krishna and the cowherd boys would be walking through the forest, and what would the cowherd boys be doing? They would simply be watching Krishna. Not that every now and then glancing, oh, there he is, okay, and carrying on, and then glancing a little later. But they're actually watching Krishna permanently. But sometimes, because they're going through the forest, sometimes Krishna would go behind a tree. just walk behind a tree, you know, some big tree, and it might take perhaps a second or whatever before he emerges on the other side, walking along. But when that happened, those cowherd boys would feel intense pain for that second or so. Very intense pain and separation from Krishna. So, you know, my point here basically is really that the experience of, we all have experience of different relationships. We have our parents, and generally our parents mean a lot to us. Then when we become adults, then we have our own family usually, wife or husband and children, and they mean a lot to us. And if somehow we are separated from them, if someone dies particularly, or even if someone doesn't die, but maybe they just go away for some time, then we feel that. We may feel that very deeply. I know my mother told me, would you believe, my 88-year-old mother, who's still living, told me that when I went to school for the first day, when I turned 5, in New Zealand they start school as soon as you turn 5. So I went, first day, and it was the first day she had been separated from me for 5 years. Not that I'm, you know, anything special at all, but somehow or other, as a mother, she felt like that. She said she cried when I went to school, just for a few hours. She cried. Yeah. So, separation. We all have some experience of separation. But not like this. This is separation on another level. A much deeper level. Why? Because the relationship is much deeper. The relationship is much deeper. Why is the relationship much deeper? Because Krishna is much deeper as a person. Yes. You know, some people are very superficial and very, you know, what, even frightened in some cases and whatnot. And they cannot really have relationships very easily. Only very brief, and, you know, just when there's some business to discuss, and if there isn't, then you just find something else to do and go away. They can't really get into personal relationship, personal exchange, and developing a relationship. But Krishna, when we have a relationship with Krishna, it is really something most amazing, and we cannot really compare it. Not in very meaningful terms, at least, with the relationships that we know. Even though, of course, all of us probably have at least some relationships which really mean a lot to us. But still, it's not like that at all. At all. So, just to illustrate this, I wanted to tell a story. This is an interesting story. It is a story about separation. It is part of the life story of Srinivas Acharya, a great devotee, who was a young fellow when Lord Chaitanya left this world. In fact, I think he was around 16 or 17 when Lord Chaitanya left this world. And later he became the head, the leader of our line after the 6 Goswamis, after Jiva Goswami, actually. So anyway, this Srinivas, his parents, before he was born, his parents, they really wanted to have a child, but there was no child coming. And this had gone on for some years, and they were in anxiety about it. So they were living in Bengal. They knew Lord Chaitanya from before he left home and went to Jagannath Puri, they knew him, and they knew that he's very, very great personality. So they thought, one time they thought, let us go to Jagannath Puri and ask Lord Chaitanya for his blessings. Then perhaps we can have a child. So they went all the way to Jagannath Puri. They met with Lord Chaitanya, and even without them asking, Lord Chaitanya blessed them. He said, ah, you two are going to have a son who is going to be the greatest devotee. So they were really extremely pleased. And particularly the father, the husband, he became so ecstatic. He became like a God-intoxicated person. They went back from Puri to Bengal, and sure enough, they had a child who was Srinivas. But the father, he was now so much affected by his association with Lord Chaitanya that he became sort of like a madman or something like that. What he would do, or all he would do, would be, he would say, Chaitanya. He'd just go around all day, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And people would ask him, because everyone knew him, he'd been living in the village all his life. People would ask him, how are you? Chaitanya, Chaitanya. What are you doing today? Chaitanya, Chaitanya. He became like that. So they renamed him, sort of jokingly. He had a name, of course, but they renamed him Chaitanya Das. And so whenever they would see him coming, they would say, here comes Chaitanya Das. And sure enough, he would be just going, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Just immersed in Chaitanya consciousness. So as Srinivas grew up, he saw his father like this. And he asked his mother, who is this Chaitanya then? And his mother explained, and he found out about Lord Chaitanya. And he decided, I want to meet Lord Chaitanya. I have to meet him. This is when he's about your age. Yeah. How old are you now?
7.
Yes, about 7 or 8. He decided, I must meet Lord Chaitanya. That's it. But his parents wouldn't let him go. Would your parents let you go, do you think? Would you want to go? Okay, good boy. That's very good. So Srinivas really wanted to go, but his parents wouldn't let him go. And so he just got more into it. I must go. I really must go. Finally, when he was 16, then the news spread of a cryptic message which Advaita Acharya had sent to Lord Chaitanya. Yes, this is a little sort of extraordinary, but very interesting. Look, Advaita Acharya, who was the person who had called Lord Chaitanya to appear, he sent a message. He, Advaita Acharya, was living in Shantipur near Navadweep in Bengal. He sent a message to Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. The Bengali, I forget, but basically it goes, please tell the Bala that everyone has become Allah. Please tell the Bala that in the marketplace There is no more sale of chawla. Chawla means rice. Yeah. Bawla means a big bad man. Awla means like a normal madman, not a big one. So please tell the Bawla, the big madman, this is Lord Chaitanya, everyone has become awla. Means everyone has become completely overwhelmed in love for Krishna. And please tell the Bawla that in the marketplace there is no more sale of chawla, of rice. But now, you see, their method of distributing Krishna consciousness, they called the Namahata, the marketplace of the Nam, of the holy name. This was like their movement, Namahata, marketplace of the holy name. So, in other words, he's saying, everyone has become mad in love of Krishna. Therefore, there's no one else who has to buy our product because they've all got it. So there's no more sale. We have completed our mission, in other words. And when Lord Chaitanya got this message, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, he has spoken. He said something like, he calls the actor onto the stage, and then he tells him to leave the stage. So it's cryptic, but everybody got the idea. Advaita Acharya, who called for Lord Chaitanya to come, has now said, our mission is finished. Time to go. Time to leave this world. So, and then after that, Lord Chaitanya's mood became even deeper than it had been. So when Srinivas heard about this, he thought, I really have to go. He had not met Lord Chaitanya. I really have to go to meet Lord Chaitanya. I just have to go. So he went at night. His parents woke up the next morning. He just wasn't there. You see? But he was 16. And in those days, they didn't have planes. You couldn't take a flight. They didn't have trains. They didn't have cars, buses. You just had to walk. But he ran 500 kilometers without stopping. Or even 600, actually, from up Navadvip way. All the way down to Jagannath Puri, he ran. Because he was worried that I will not be able to see Lord Chaitanya before he leaves this world. So I have to get there. I have to get there. So he ran and ran and ran for days, 500-600 kilometers. Finally, he was on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, just by the edge of the city, town. And he saw coming from out of the town a small group of pilgrims, just half a dozen people, walking out, coming towards him. And he saw they were just in a very emotional condition. They were devastated. And he stopped them and he asked them, what happened? What is it? Why are you so distressed? And those pilgrims said, Lord Chaitanya just left this world. He's gone. He's gone. Disappeared. Because when Lord Chaitanya disappeared, he actually disappeared. There were no remains left. So Srinivas, when he heard that, he was devastated completely. He thought of committing suicide. He fell unconscious, but Lord Chaitanya appeared in his mind and told him, don't do that. Go and take shelter of Gadadhar. Gadadhar was living there in Jagannath Puri. So later that day, Srinivas went and he found Gadadhar. There was Gadadhar just sitting there, just like completely dumbstruck, almost. Anyway, he met Gadadhar and stayed with Gadadhar for a little while. And he was asking Gadadhar what to do, now that Lord Chaitanya has departed. And Gadadhar said, Lord Nityananda is still here, and Advaita, they're both still here, in Bengal. So Srinivas made up his mind, right, I will go and find Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, and I will take shelter of them and live with them for the rest of my life. That's what I'll do. So again, he ran all the way back to Bengal. Ran. For days, until he came to that place where Lord Nityananda and the Advaita Acharya were living. So he came running in to the outskirts of the town. And then he saw coming from the town, small group of pilgrims coming out towards him. And they were deeply distraught. And he stopped them and asked them, what's happened? What's wrong? Why are you so disturbed? They said, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, they just left this world yesterday. They just left this world. They've gone. So again, Srinivas was completely, totally devastated. What to do now? Who to take shelter of? And then he thought, I know. I will go back to Puri and take shelter of Gadadhar. I should never have left there. I should have just stayed there. But now I know. So I'm going back and I am going to stay there. That's it. I will stay with Gadadhar. So he turned around. He ran back. All the way back to Jagannath Puri. Ran for days. Finally he arrived in Jagannath Puri, just on the outskirts of the town. And then he saw coming out of the town small group of pilgrims. And they looked like deeply disturbed, just overwhelmed. And he asked them, what happened? Why are you like this? What went wrong? And they said, Gadadhar just left this world. He's gone. So now Srinivas, you know, back and forth and this one and that one. It was really getting too much. He just didn't know what to do. But that night, an inspiration came to him. I know. I will go to Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they are living in Vrindavan. I will go and take shelter of them. That's what I'll do. So immediately in the middle of the night, he just got up and he ran to Vrindavan, which is about 2,000 kilometers. But he just ran and ran and ran. And by the time he reached Vrindavan, he was finished. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, he was finished. He was completely finished. But he arrived in Vrindavan. When he arrived on the outskirts of Vrindavan, he could see the dome of Radha Govinda temple in the distance. He was going in because he knew Radha Govinda, this is where Rupa Goswami is. He was just entering the town when he saw a small group of pilgrims coming out of the town towards him. And they looked just like very emotional, very, very emotional. And he stopped them and asked them, what happened? They said, Rupa and Sanatan just left this world. They've gone just yesterday. So now, as we said, he was finished. He, in every respect, and now this on top of it, he didn't know what to do. So just in a sort of mesmerized state, he went into the Radha Govinda temple, and he couldn't stand up any longer, couldn't move any longer. He just lay down at the back of the temple, and he thought, all right, I'll just leave my body, I'll just stay here and leave my body here at the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. So some devotee was just lying there sort of semi-conscious, unconscious, sometimes conscious, lying there. Devotees gathered and they could see this is a devotee, but he's very, very disturbed. So he was just lying there. Then at one point he opened his eyes and he saw kneeling over him, right next to him, was a sort of youngish sannyasi, like maybe in his 30s. So this young sannyasi was looking at him and Srinivas said to him, who are you? What's your name? And the sannyasi said, my name is Jiva Goswami, who had just become the head of the Sampradaya of the line after the departure of Rupa and Sanatan. So then Jiva Goswami took him to his ashram, nursed him back to health, and accepted him as a Siksha disciple and instructed him. And then Srinivas became, after some maybe 30 years, he became the head of the Sampradaya himself. But I think we get the idea from that story. Some separation. Very amazing. Very amazing. So, but the thing is, for ourselves, Hare Krishna, we are separated from Krishna. We are a long way from Krishna. We are in a very good position for feeling separation. But we are not feeling separation. But rather we are feeling, I'm okay. I have my TV. I can watch The Simpsons and life will be alright. Or something. Yes, I have my bank balance, so I'll be all right. But we are not all right. But the problem is we do not realize we are not all right. We think we are all right, but we are not all right. So if we keep chanting, and practicing Krishna consciousness, then more and more it will become clear to us that we are separated from Krishna, that it does matter, and we do have to do something about it. And if we don't do something about it, then it's going to really be a problem. In many ways, many problems, extremely serious problems will be there, because we are separated from Krishna. So we have to close the gap and come closer to Krishna. Hare Krishna. So that was a little different type of program to what we're used to. Now, as we said,